Yeah, I like it.
And you'll forget it by the time he gets to it.
Well, if we tag team for years, it wouldn't hurt.
Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 5 and 6. Now, just how far we'll get today, I don't know. I really know that we won't get through the whole lesson, but I teach again next month. And therefore, the kind of lesson that it is, we can pick it up and finish it next week. You know, when Brother Ron Williams was up here preaching, I just had to sit there and refrain myself. He had notes, and they slide down to here. But when you're, and he's a big man, when you're here, then you got to look like this. And that's why I use my little stick tack bumper, where I can keep those notes up there at the top where they need to be. And I wanted to tell him so much, but that would have been an interruption, of course. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brother Dick Ruggles, would you ask God to bless our time in the scriptures? Amen. In addition to much good preaching that we heard this week, July 4th service opening was marvelous. Brother McVeigh orchestrated our Civil Air Patrol men, Luke and Zane, and then the one preacher that was here was in the military. The three of them brought the American flag down, did post the colors. We had the pledges. Then they carried it out, and all the boys were in uniform, and all of them stood at their attention and gave their salutes. And then we sang the patriotic songs. The choir sang a patriotic song. The whole thing was just a real, it's one of them lump stickers, okay, where it just puts a lump in your throat. And it was a great opening for that service. In a day of uncertainty and ambiguity, nothing seems clear, everything's ambiguous. When one's called a bigot or biased because he does not live by skepticism, like so many do, it is indeed not only refreshing, but it's definite, it's confident, and it's bold to be able to say, as is in verse 6, the Lord is my helper. Christ the Helper. That's the title of this message that I'm starting today. This in Sunday school, I like to call it a lesson, but I realize it ends up pretty much of a message. But my desire is to be able to teach. And a pastor often refers to Oliver Green, and he was indeed the epitome of a teaching preacher. That man would preach, but nevertheless, all the while he did it, he was teaching the scriptures. Prolific writer as well, many, many Bible commentaries, which was again written in the style of explaining the scriptures as he knew them and understood them, not like so many commentaries are that try to wax great in understanding things that they only learn from someone else. Oliver Green's writings are of a different vein. But I want to look at this phrase, the Lord is my helper. These are days in which pastors, philosophers, and you've met the local philosopher, haven't you? He's the fella that sits in a local restaurant nursing a cup of coffee or you might see him talking at Dollar General. Definitely, if you go to the bar, you'll find a philosopher there. And this is somebody who knows a little bit of everything. And they've got the command of voice and the way of saying it that, you know, it sounds, that's what it ought to be, you know. Well, there were philosophers of the past, Socrates and Plato, and some others in later time. But then there's so many professors. And these would be the instructors at colleges and universities. And they bashfully apologize for what for centuries have been rightly understood to be the foundation of a successful life. And this is not new. It's always been around. But in our day, it's getting worse. We're seeing it perhaps most noticeably with this goal of tearing down any kind of statue that doesn't stand for political correctness. Not only statues, but the removal of pictures and wordings. They want them to be chiseled off of buildings. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And we need to let those doubting Thomases, as we call them, say what they want to. They can call us narrow-minded, biased, or prejudiced, but life has its certainties. And it's not limited to a maze of man's miniature mind and mistakes. Thank God we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." And these words of Scripture come to us as a promise of God to strengthen us, to comfort us, to assure us of God's presence. The Lord is my helper. The first word I want to focus on, though not exclusively, is that of the helper. If there's anything that we need, it is help. Think back to your childhood days, to the days of your youth, to the first steps that you took into adult life. Maybe a business venture, maybe a first real job, okay? Or maybe family responsibilities. I think of Michael and Tanya and the adoption of the children. What a step, okay? And what a memory they'll have to look back on that step. How seriously our lives are affected by the source of counsel or advice that we seek, whether it be from friends or other people, like co-workers, neighbors, or just another individual in relationship. And this is true also, not only in the basics of life by way of experiences, but in our spiritual lives, in our church life. And happy is the person, content is the person who can say, "The Lord is my helper." Too many people, well-meaning though they may be, seek help from everyone, it seems, but the Lord. Or at least what they do is go to Him amongst the last people. They ask their favorite person, they ask someone they think is smart, and they get their input, and then eventually they get around to the Lord. Why? Because the other ways didn't work. If they worked, they could stop looking. But they don't work. So then eventually they decide that they ought to pray. And indeed, they should have started there. Likewise, too many people, well-meaning people, when they are asked by someone who needs help, they often answer from their own views or their own resources rather than pointing people to the Lord in the Bible. And that's where we need to start, in the Bible. Now I realize when somebody asks you something, you may respond out of your own experiences as you've learned them by living the Bible. Okay, understand that. And especially depending on what the situation is, You may have had experiences in that that God has brought you through, and therefore you share those with that other person. But this is a very promise-filled phrase here. The Lord is my helper. Now, that is so basic. That is so obvious. It is possible for us to not give it the attention that it deserves. You know, like, oh, yeah, well, sure. Yeah, but obviously. Yeah, I know that. Or am I the only one that finds themselves doing that sort of thing? Or am I the only one that admits it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see, this phrase of promise, the Lord is my helper, is preceded and followed by other scriptures. You see in verse 5, for he hath said, and he's referring to an Old Testament passage, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, where he said that was in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, and the exact words are, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:16, verse 6, says the same thing. So in two places, God told his people, tells us, that he will be with us. And then in Psalm 118 and verse 6, it reads, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord's my helper. What can man do? Well, I'm going to tell you, he can do a whole lot. He can really mess up your life. You know why? Because we respond to outside stimuli. Okay? Things that affect us, we respond to it. And therefore, when somebody says something about us or to us, or does something to us, or does something that affects us, may not to us, but they may do something, like in a work situation, that affects us, when we respond to that. So they can do a lot. I realize that. We don't live in a spiritual vacuum or bubble. We live in a real world. But that's why God gave these Bible verses, the Lord is my helper. This is the pit. Okay, that's a real biblical response, isn't it? When something happens, this is the pit. Man, I don't like this at all. But I know God's going for me. I got God on my side. And I don't know how it's going to work out. But I know that he's not going to abandon me. Why, when you can get that mentality, when you can get that as a first thought approach, it can make a big difference. But this old nature of ours just doesn't respond that way. It just doesn't think that way. And I say that so you don't beat up on yourself. You don't feel a Christian failure because you've reacted in ways that you didn't want to. And yes, that we shouldn't. Okay? But listen, life's not over. That isn't your first failure. Huh? And therefore, you just, you know, again, another good biblical term, just suck it up and go on. You see, one of the reasons I use those kind of phrases is because we have spiritual sounding phrases. Religious sounding phrases. They are accurately descriptive of things, but we don't generally think in that vein and talk in that vein. And therefore, when something comes along and we respond in a more natural way, you see, then we can end up, like I say, feeling a failure. And so when we realize, wow, what I need to do in this is the same thing that I needed to do in playing miniature golf, okay? Or in fixing my car. I need to do the same thing as I did when I was painting the house and whatever it is that you met in doing that, okay? That's how we need to begin to think. Now, I think it was Brother Williams, I made a note of it to include it on a Wednesday night, but I think it was he from Hepzibah House who said that we need to be reading our Bible. And he was saying it in time of needing, we need to read through the Bible. We just need to read the Bible, read the Bible. Because as we read the Bible, then we'll begin to think in Bible terminology. And so that's the way. That's one of the benefits of reading it. You know, we won't comprehend it all if you're doing a read through the Bible in a year program. There are, and depending on how faster reader you are. I'm a slow reader. And I'll read and then I'll see something and I'll stop. It would take me, I'm not kidding, it would take me 2 hours the way I read to be able to read 8 or 9 chapters. Oh, I can read through them. But you know, I'll see a word, I wonder what that word means. Oh, that reminds me of this verse. And I'll go look that verse up and I'll, you know, back to the other one. You know, it's, and it can become frustrating because I'm not able to read through the Bible. It takes me 2.5 years to read through the Bible that way. You say, well, what's the solution? I don't know, but when I find it, I'll tell you. But if you are one, regardless of what your reading rate and your comprehension rate is, the thing is that if we are in the Bible and we're reading it, that is the way we're going to begin to think. And we will find ourselves quoting, maybe not whole verses, but we'll find ourselves making statements that include Scripture. And we, you know, we didn't purposely set out to memorize it. It's just that we read it and it's repeated and we read it over. Now listen, some of you older folks know what I mean, who've been to church regularly for years. You've heard things. You've heard truth taught. You've heard scriptures taught and quoted. And you are able, at various times, you have a response that includes something that you heard and it influenced you. Now, what we're saying by reading the scriptures is we purposely focus on achieving that. But just read. Don't be concerned. And you know, and I must, in my case, I must concentrate on not chasing every, we like to call them rabbits, okay? On not chasing every rabbit that comes along. And then I'm doing fairly good with that. And my pastor stands up and he says, when there's a question there, you ought to stop and answer. Oh, Lord! I just got through 8 chapters today and now I'm back to 2. That's purposely to harass you. But it is true. Many a thing that's learned by stopping and answering the question. Now, answering the question for me means I have to get up out of my rocking chair, away from my cup of coffee and cookies, and and go over to the desk where I can get out some books and start looking. Okay, now the whole morning's been upset. Pastor. Oh my. No, I noticed that. We need to consider this promise of God's help because it's preceded by scriptures and it's followed by scriptures. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I want to look at a little bit here at the basis of this promise. The basis of this promise is the Word of God. Notice the line of reasoning, He hath said, so we can say. In verse 5, for He hath said. And then verse 6, so that we may boldly say. Because of what God said in the Word, we can say it. So we're not being presumptuous when we have learned some Bible truth, some statement of Scripture, that when we've learned it and we've We've, you know, personally taken it. It's not presumptuous on our part when we face a situation in life and are praying to God to say, now, Lord, I remember reading thus and such. And I don't know how it's going to fit into this situation, but it comes to mind that that fits this. So help me to know how to live this out. See, we get this idea that we are such super saints. God saved us. And that's really all he did. And now he's got our whole lifetime to be able to teach us and develop us. And therefore, when we face something, even when we know some what Scripture says about it, we still need to figure out how do we incorporate that or integrate that into our life and living. And boy, I'll tell you, when you least expect it. Pat asked me something, and I came in to where she was sitting to answer her. And I did not remember that she had a glass of water sitting on the floor. And I stepped up and my toe, yeah, water everywhere. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for my reaction. And then I had to ask her to forgive me for my reaction. And isn't that how it is in life? Now, what's the big deal? A glass of water spit. You'd think the world came to an end the way I reacted. I don't know what I'd do if the world came to an end. But you see, the significant thing is that it's dealt with and not ignored. And, you know, that I don't think... The kind of reaction that can come to that sort of thing is then to blame her. Well, what'd you set that glass there for? You know I walk in here. Why didn't you set it somewhere else? That doesn't accomplish anything, does it? No. Because I didn't do that, okay? But I wouldn't feel any better if I did that. Because I haven't dealt with me. It was my clumsy foot that knocked the water glass over. Now let me show you sanctification. We have three different colors. The one we use frequently is double-walled red plastic. It's about this big around at the top. It narrows a little. It's got a lid on it with a plastic straw in it. Being double-walled, it doesn't sweat as much. And it's got a lid so that if it does fall over, there'll be some come out where the straw goes in. Sanctification. Now, I went and cleaned up my mess. She started using that glass. When the chair was sitting in the arrangement it was. Now, when the chair's where it usually is, this isn't an issue. But she went and got that glass, filled it up. She said, that way, if you bump it, it isn't going to spill. We had a little girl walking down the aisle, saw that her friend was without an offering plate, and she gave hers. That, my friend, is sanctification. You see, that word sanctification is such a big religious word. It's being separated to God. So in that case, a little girl coming down the aisle, separated to God, meant she doesn't have to carry her plate. She'll give it to Ray Ann so she can carry it. Getting the red cup so Klutz here doesn't knock it over, okay? That's consideration. Father in heaven, we've come to the end of this class now. We're going to look next time at more of what this matter of your help is. And we certainly, Father, need your help. So bless, Lord, these lessons as they unfold in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor?
Next, yes.
I just want to say this. I've seen that same little girl, one of the most precious things I saw last year, at that bench over there, Ray Ann was sitting in it, and a bunch of kids came running by and startled Rayanne.
Yeah.
That little girl stopped, put her fingers against Rayanne's cheek.
Yeah.
Held it there.
Yeah.
Rayanne got caught. And then she ran off and looked
at it. Yeah. 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 And that's good. And some of that comes by her personality, by how she is. But some of it also comes from learning how to deal with special needs people. Okay? And so now, next lesson, we're going to look at the matter of faith and presumption and doubt and action. And I'm eager to get into that. and Pastor, it fits right in. So. All right.
The exact same lesson 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, yeah? All right. That's all for now.